A young boy had just gotten his driving permit. He asked his father, who was a minister, if they could discuss the use of the car. His father took him to the study and said to him, "I'll make a deal with you. You bring your grades up, study your Bible a little, and get your hair cut, and we'll talk about it." After another month, the boy came back again and asked his father if they could discuss the use of the car. They again went to the father's study, where the father said, "Son, I've been real proud of you. You brought your grades up, you've been studying the Bible diligently, but you didn't get your hair cut." The young man waited a moment and replied, "You know, Dad, I've been thinking about that. You know, Samson had long hair. Moses had long hair. Noah had long hair, and even Jesus had long hair." To which his father replied, "Yes, and they walked everywhere they went." A father's guidance. So important, isn't it? Whether we've had or had an earthly father to guide us and teach us, one thing we can know, we have a heavenly Father, God the Father, a living God who loves us, wants only the best for us, and will love us through eternity. He is not a myth. He is not a story made up merely to give us something to cling to when things get tough. Even Job, who we read from this morning, and who went through so much, said, "For I know that my Redeemer lives." Job knew our God would never leave us or forsake us, which means in the moments when it seems it's not working according to our plan, God still has a purpose for our life. He's still near, even when your heart is broken. He's still near, even when you don't feel the momentum on Monday that you felt on Sunday. He's not a faraway God. He's not standing off in the distance waiting for you to get your act together. He's the God of my gaps. He's there when I'm guilty. He's there when my faith is gone. He's there when my hope is low. In Paul's first letter to Timothy this morning, he said, "Train yourself for a holy life." While physical training has some value, training in holy living is useful for everything. Our hope is set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people. Command these things. Teach them. So what is it that Paul wants us to teach? Prior to this reading in chapter 4, in chapter 3, starting in verse 14, Paul writes to Timothy, "I hope to come to you quickly, but I'm writing these things to you so that if I'm delayed, you'll know how you should behave in God's household. It is the church of the living God and the backbone and support of the truth." He continues to say, "Without question, the mystery of godliness is great. He, Jesus, was revealed as a human, declared righteous by the Spirit, seen by angels, preached throughout the nations, believed in around the world, and taken up in glory." When we invite God into our lives, understand He does not simply wish to stay in your guest room. Many people wish to have a God to call on when things go wrong in our lives. When we or someone we love has a health issue, or when our children don't live like we wish they would live, we'd love a Jesus around to help straighten them out. We have a living God, and we, as His children, are His family, just like you and your children. Our family. your parents, our family. You may have experienced that stage in the lives of your children when they were teenagers or young adults, when they wanted to have us around, when things got rough. But otherwise, don't interfere with my life, Mom and Dad. There's a book I got when my boys were teens. It's called Get Out of My Life, But First Could You Drive Me and Cheryl to the Mall? It's by Anthony Wolfe. Does this sound familiar? You may have kids that sound like this. You may have been the kid that sounds like this with your parents. And thankfully, they or we usually grow out of this. But this is how many Christians are. We want him in our dark times, but don't interfere with our lives. Many people feel this way because they think before we can ask God into our life, we have to get our act together, quitting all our bad habits, maybe memorizing parts of the Bible, and all of that's good and wonderful. But the good news is God doesn't force himself on us. And the better news is he's there with open arms when we're ready to come to him. Do you remember the story of Jesus on the cross and the thief who was on the cross next to him? When the thief said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, the standard of perfection, the one in whom the radiance of the glory of God shone for all to see, looked back at a dying thief who represented any sin you might want to mention in this room, and said, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Today, not after you've taken a confirmation class or made changes in your life. And the thief died and was in glory on that day in the presence of God. But here we are today, not in God's glory, but here in the process with a living God who is here with us in the process. Inviting God into our lives does not mean that your life is going to immediately look like paradise, but God is in the process. I know he's in the process because first he sat at the table with his disciples before his crucifixion. And I know he's in the process because after his resurrection, he sat at the table with Cleopas and another disciple and he blessed the bread. And I know that the bread he blessed, he broke. And I know that the same bread that was broken was still blessed after the breaking, and when he gave it to them. See, the thing you need to know about your life is that even when you're broken, you're still blessed. The reason I'm blessed is because of the hand of God on my life. As long as the bread was in the hands of Jesus, it was blessed, no matter what form it was in. And so in every stage, in every season of my life, he's blessing me. Process. Salvation is not about a product. Salvation is a relationship with a living God, whether we feel we are being blessed or broken. There are stages in our life. Some call it a journey, but it's a process. As many of you know, Bob, my husband, and I have been living in St. Petersburg. We've been serving and worshiping here at Good Shepherd for well over 5 years, going on 6 years in January, just a couple months away. Wow. Bob and I finally made the decision to try to find a place up here. Some very generous friends allowed us to use their winter home here this summer while they were up north to allow us to focus on doing just that. After some disappointments and some heavy disappointments, and knowing our northern friends were coming home soon, I've got to say I was more than disappointed and stressed. But I, too, am in process. I will say that Bob and I found a lovely condo up here in Dunedin, right in Dunedin, and moved in a couple weeks ago. Yay! But I refuse to stand up here like I have arrived. I'm not the deacon because I've arrived. I'm the deacon because God anointed me to the ministry of helping others along their journey. But I am not perfect. And when I go through stresses and frustrations, afterward I find I relate better to those I minister to because I have gone through and understand their stresses and frustrations. Our lives, our process, our journey has stages, some good, some not so good. But I am reminded of a conversation years ago when I was going through a very difficult time in my life. And I really wanted to get past that stage in my life, get out of it. And someone said, basically, I understand you want to get past this stage of what you're going through, but I encourage you to show up for every stage because every stage will have challenges, battles, but it will also have blessings. And through each stage, you will grow and be better prepared for the next one. That changed my life. Do you understand what I'm saying? As we go through the stages of our salvation process, though there's something we didn't think we would ever make it through, but our living God walked with us and got us through it. And I'm sure if we look back, we can say, I may not be where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Can we say that? How many can say that? Amen? So when we face the next stage in our life, it's good to have that experience in our past because we can look back and borrow from the confidence of what God has brought us through and use it for our next battle. Galatians 2 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The grace that gave me salvation is the same grace that will strengthen my faith and walk me through the next difficult battle. It's when you say, God, I can't. God, I don't know how. God, I don't know what to do. You can remember that grace of our living God is with you and will lead you, guide you, carry you when necessary. There's an old hymn titled, The God of Abraham Prays. Some of those words say, Our living God, ancient of everlasting days, the great I am, his spirit still flows free. We praise you, living God. We praise your holy name. Remember these words in a few minutes as we partake of the bread that is blessed and broken and is still blessed for us.